Thank the Lord for His good commandments. Remember, they were written by Jesus and fulfilled by Him. As Paul said, you know, we have the very words of God when it came to Scripture. And so the last two commandments we went over really dealt with our actions. Do not steal, do not lie. And this commandment, which is, boy, really hits to the heart and mind, deals with our attitude. You shall not covet. Okay, what your neighbor has, your neighbor's family members, what your neighbor owns, vehicles, okay, position, anything that God gave your neighbors, don't want for yourself to the point where you think that's going to make your life fulfilled or give you the peace you're looking for and all that. And this is a rough commandment when we put it before God. One thing to remember, these Ten Commandments, they're not a ladder that we climb up by our obedience and somehow be close to God as a result. Now, we get close to God through the mercy of God and the grace of God. That's how we get close to God. And then from there, we obey Him. Those commandments were given after God established His relationship with the people. Same with you and I. Okay, so not a ladder, but a mirror where we see our need, a good window through which we see the glory of God. And a good way to look at the commandments, they're really a biography of Jesus. Jesus does not steal. Jesus does not murder. Jesus does not covet. And Jesus in you and me does not dishonor God, but loves God. And He can help us do this when in ourselves, you'll see, we're just going to be coveting machines. In my own life, coveting, it's a broken this commandment as much as any of the others. So just to be right from the bat in need of repentance. Most of my coveting has not been through things. You know, I see that watch. I got to get one of those watches. I'm going to take it from you as soon as you don't see and so forth. Or car, you know, four wheels, I'm good. Your car is good for you, not for me. And but I covet often in regards to things that have to do with what I think is important in the Christian life or something I think, oh, that's really great. Somebody gets a really, really nice Bible that has everything in it, you know, explains everything just right, and it's the latest this, that, and the other, and they have it. And I think, you know, why do they have it? I'm the one that should have it. For me. And they don't follow it like I do. You know, all kind of bad thoughts come in my head, which probably aren't true. And even serving or spiritual gifts, you know. I often thought if I just had the gift of healing, I mean, I would really go to town. I'd be in children's hospital every day. Going from room to room, you know, room to room with that gift. And God says, He's the one. Okay. And don't be thinking, well, if somebody else prays and somebody else gets, you know, gets helped, that, oh, it has to be for me too, you know. So coveting could be a problem even in our relationship with God. And even as groups, you know, pastors have this coveting thing. Don't tell anybody. Okay, outside. But to pastors covet, and Christian covet against Christian. And, you know, I hear that the church down the road, you know, they have five services of 300 people each. I think, you know, those bumps, you know, they must be watering down the gospel, you know. Or you go the other direction. Oh, we must not even love the Lord, you know. I mean, let's just condemn ourselves for that. So all kind of bad things, coveting caves in on itself, doesn't it? When you start to think like that. And so God says, you shall not covet. Deals with our attitude, heart and mind. It's the myth of the greener grass. Oh, the other guy, well, maybe he's loved by God more. That's a lie. Or maybe he's been given more. Given more for what? For more responsibility, to serve more. Okay. Coveting, I want for me what God has given you. That's selfish. Cravings of the sinful heart are not from the Father. tells us in 1 John chapter 2. Remember, it says, you know, you got to watch out for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's all in a coveting kind of direction. And in a positive way, this commandment points us to Jesus as our peace and our provider. The human being, we were created for that. So we think it's in things or what we can attain for ourselves instead of what we can achieve or receive, rather. Receive. There's an old hymn that says, all my life long, it's like a coveting hymn that turns to God. All my life long, I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. What's that cool spring? You know, anything out there that I start to make like very important to my peace and my God. But thank the Lord, I have found Him. Him. Jesus, who my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through His blood, I now am saved. What God would do for us. Like, oh, what a cure for coveting. Oh, I'm loved 100%. Well, I got a purpose from the King of the universe. You know, you get the best friend every day you could have. Covet, I don't have no time to covet, you know. When you focus on the Lord. And so think of what the Lord has done for you. Are you a contented person in a healthy sense? Or are you a person who covets? So you have biblical contentment versus, someone said to it, check the culture, the American dream. American dream says, I have to make more money than mom or dad. What a dumb goal that is, you know. I have to. My dad had a 4-bedroom house. I want 6. If I don't get 6, there's something wrong with me and my generation. That's where is that? Some guys get elected by promising that, and I voted for him. Oh my, that was a big mistake. Okay, no coveting. You shall not covet. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What the other person has. But God would give you Himself. Okay. And I had an aunt. She had a phrase when people would get too selfish and maybe covet for themselves. One time she used the phrase, that's wacko jacko. Okay. It's a little rough around the edges, but you shall not covet. It's like stalking things. You know what stalking a person is, don't you? It's like when you say, that's creepy. When you stalk stuff, that's creepy. That's creepy. You don't want that. In overseas missionaries, they call that a fetish. You know what a fetish is? It's like a little village in an isolated area that has a tree. And nobody feels at peace, and nobody feels good about themselves, and nobody feels like they're going to be safe and attain things unless they hang around that tree. Okay, what's that tree for you? Is it a person? Ugh. Is it things? Well, that's no good. One businessman said, "Don't cry for what you covet, because what you covet never cried for you. Never did. But Jesus cried for you." He cried for you, and he'll love you all the time. So you could turn to him. And often, not to pick on stores this time of year, we want to give love and give thanks to bless others, you know. But we get on a list of stores, and we're on a list of stores. And if a new item comes in, we get a postcard. It's in. Come and get the sweater. Come and get the shoes. We know you want those shoes. Come and get the cell phone. Because they know we can't stand the thought of somebody having that sweater or that cell phone and we don't have it. We can't stand the thought of that. You mean my sweater's a 1980 version, you know? Or we don't want to pick on a cell phone. They're such a great tool. And some of you guys and gals, that's how you get work done. But can you picture 20 years ago, Grandpa okay, he's in his house. He's with the phone on the wall. You know, and every year Grandpa buys a new phone. He has a black phone, but then he gets a white one. The next year he gets a red one. Next year he gets a green one. And somebody says, Grandpa, stop the madness, you know. And how we have to watch, because what gets our heart in that direction? It's really, hey, you know, take it easy. You give thanks to God for whatever form of communication you have. And that way. And he's the one that gives you communication with God the Father. See, where does coveting come from? Because coveting will send us to hell. As embarrassing as it is, as a sin, coveting will send us to hell. Like Jesus said, it comes from our heart. From within, out of men's hearts, come coveting or envy or jealousy. They're similar words. Remember in the story, it's a sad thing when somebody covets and shows a heart that's really not anchored. The old movie Toy Story. You know, Woody, the toy, he's loved by the boy. And Buzz Lightyear comes in, and he's loved by the boy too, but the boy, he's a little more excited about the new one, and Woody, he's not happy. He is not happy until he gets the accolades and the whatever else Buzz Lightyear has. And through the movie, it works out, and they end up helping each other and all that, but it's from within. A sad, painful thing. And Paul said, a missionary, sin produced in me every kind of covetous desire. And we could turn to God and know peace instead, which God can give us. You know, he wants to give us that. A man came up to Jesus and said, hey, and this seems fair, the inheritance is being divided. Tell my brother to give me my fair share. Jesus pretty much told him, hit the road. I'm not here to cater to your covetous attitude toward your brother. You should be happy your brother got more than you. Okay? He said, beware against covetousness. Our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. And if you love your brother, love your neighbor, love the people in your life, you're coveting will go away. You wouldn't covet something from your spouse, would you? Like, you know, oh, whatever that would be. You know, newlyweds, you have to watch. Coveting, you know, why should you choose all the time where we go to eat, you know? You covet who gets which way in there. And that happens to people married 35 years, not newlyweds. But the coveting of, oh, I have to have a position or so forth. Charles Spurgeon said this in terms of coveting. Interesting, this was written in the 1800s. It's almost like, was he watching our culture? He says, love your neighbor. Perhaps your neighbor is rolling in money and you are poor. He has a king-sized bed. You have a cot or you sleep on the floor. Don't forget, God has given that to your neighbor. God has given that to your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, you won't covet. You won't envy him. And you say, it makes no sense to love my neighbor. The more I love them, the more, you know, snooty they get and proud and nose up in the air and so forth. Spurgeon says, well, have heroic love. How is that person going to change without knowing love? And don't have a love that he called it a featherbed warrior love. Featherbed, you know, Christian soldier on the featherbed. Ah. But have a love for the rough fight when it really needs to be, for the health of your own soul and the blessing of the other guy. You know, love your neighbor. Fulfills that law of do not coveting. And how gracious God is to us. He says, put to death what's earthly, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, covetousness, which is idolatry. There's a whole big list of hurtful sins in there. God put coveting in there. because he knows it draws our heart away from him when he offers us himself. You know, if God would say, hey, look, I give you myself and life with me, what could we possibly covet when our trust is in him? Well, we've got to watch out because coveting produces orneriness. James says, you desire, do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You ask, or you do not have because you do not ask God. Turn to God for what aches in your heart. Okay. We're talking as a family, you know, and a lot of conflicts are coveting related. Envy, jealousy, coveting. Family member to family member. I want two cookies, not Johnny to have two. Fight and quarrel, Christian to Christian. Country to country. You mean that country has a lot of resources? I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. Send in the troops. You know, whoa. Whoa, Nelly. You know, even as a group of people blessed by God, do not covet what God has given somebody else. That's no good. That's no good. And so I remember coveting even grade school against my brother. And what turned into this? It's just a little touch football game. He keeps scoring all the touchdowns. I said, I'm not having this. And they're saying, look how great your brother is. And he scored all his touchdowns and this and that and the other. When he carries the ball next time, it's over. And he got the ball and I rammed at him as hard as I could. Knocked him into a real old rusty fence. Tore up his foot. Blood all over the place. He's crying his eyes out. Goes, grandma has to get him to the hospital, get stitches. And I'm thinking, oh my. Coveting a touchdown. Look what happened. Look what happened. As some of your fellow fans at the, you know, at the ball game and the hockey game. They're like, they are coveting big time when they don't become a rooter for excellence. But coveting can hurt relationship with God, relationship with people. And if you love others, it cures coveting. As Paul said, love is the fulfillment of the law. And it's going to do no harm to anybody when you say, hey, I'm loved by God and I'm just here to love somebody else. This is walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And eventually we know we can have a gift that if God gives us himself, his love. And as Paul said, he not only gave up his own son, he gave up his own son. Won't he give us whatever else we need? Oh, Lord, you said it in your Bible. I'm not going to covet what you give somebody else. You're going to rejoice with them. And so we pray to God. We might not be here every day, but we could be here. We could be living this truth. Lord, earth has nothing I desire besides you, my God. You know, because God says, hey, I'm here and I'll take care of you. And I'll carry you all the way to heaven. Oh, now what were you concerned about, you know, in terms of what the other guy or gal had? Oh, Lord, thank you for you. Thank you for you. And what a gift of contentment God gives us. And that he'd give us the best. Give us himself. So put your trust in the Lord for forgiveness, for peace with God, for all the things that you think, that's going to help me be where I'm supposed to be. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Would you put your trust in him and rejoice in him today? Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. You love our soul. We don't want to gain the whole world and lose our soul. But you made our soul for yourself, that we could actually love you with our whole soul. Because you've raised our soul from the dead, as it were. And now there's life life forever. Thank you for each dear person here, all the praises they give to you, Lord, each one. Their life is a praise to you, whether they acknowledge it or not. Sometimes you get a lot of praise just by us stumbling around, and our testimony is, look how not to follow God. There's no, it's a chance for us to say, Jesus in us doesn't covet. So we'll be thankful and contented people and praise his name forever. Teach us how good you are so the coveting is at a minimum. In Jesus' name, and even we repent fully. In Jesus' name, amen.